Advices Radio is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The opinions of the host are not meant to be taken as medical advice. If you have a health concern, see a doctor immediately.
When it comes to the day of the contest, I'm his father. He comes to me for advices. So it's not that hard for me to give him the wrong advices.
Welcome to the very first episode of Advices Radio. Advices Radio, giving you the right advices. Advices is the first and only podcast presented by Naps. I'm your host, Scott, and with me today is Vache. Say hey, Vach.
Hey, Scott. How's it going?
Good, man. How are you tonight?
I'm doing all right. A little tired after our leg day, but hang it in there.
Good. Yeah. So let me give everybody a little bit of information about the show. So Advices Radio, we're going to start out with every other week releases. This is a community-based podcast, meaning that a big portion of the show is going to be Q&A stuff. So I'm going to answer your questions on the show. So what we're going to do is we are going to have a section set up at the website where you can write in to ask your questions, and I'm going to answer them here. The other half of the show is I'm not going to call it an interview so much. I'm going to call it a conversation or a discussion with somebody else that is also in the fitness industry and has something interesting to talk about. So tonight, I've got Vache on the line. Vache is a client of mine. He's a men's physique division competitor. He's been climbing the ranks since we've started working together. We've been working together for what? It's been over a year now, right?
Yeah, it's going to be our, actually it'll be 2 years. Well, it'll be 2 years this year, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And currently, Vache is getting ready for a show. We're about 7 weeks out. I think it's 7 weeks today, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Seven from today.
How are you feeling?
Feeling good. I mean, there's days where I'm definitely feeling like I'm on prep, which I'm expecting. I'm actually enjoying, oddly enough. But there's some days where it's like, am I ready yet?
Yeah, no, that's. I think it's always going to be like that in a contest prep. Today, what we are going to do is Vache and I are going to have a discussion about keeping your cool during contest prep. Because if you haven't done a show before, the first thing you might think of is the people that you're going up against. And yeah, of course, yep, they're there. You are eventually going to be standing on stage, and you're going to be standing on stage with a bunch of other guys or gals that have worked just as hard as you. Hopefully, you've worked harder. And you are going to be going head-to-head with them. But that's only literally for moments. Most of the contest prep, you are spending alone. You're working alone. Or, you know, even if you're working with people, at the end of the day, it's your job to get the work done. It's your job to eat the meals, your job to do the cardio, practice the posing, everything that goes into it. And the biggest competition that you have is with yourself. It's super easy to get down on yourself. It's super easy to feel like you're not doing good enough. It's super easy to basically self-destruct. I've seen it happen so many times. Let me back up here for a minute too, to tell you guys a little bit about myself. As I said, my name is Scott. I'm a contest prep coach, a diet coach, and I've been working with people for years now. I've seen, you know, hundreds of people get into awesome shape, which it's something I'm super grateful to have had the opportunity to do. And with that, I've gotten to see how a lot of different bodies respond to various forms of nutrition or supplementation, various types of training. And through this, I've learned a lot about fitness just through this experience. And I'd consider myself, you know, I mean, every coach is going to tell you they're great. I'm not going to say I'm great. You know, I feel like that would be too much, but I can tell you what, I can produce a show winner, and my track record has proven it. So yeah, that's where I'm at. I am going to look forward to answering everybody's questions as we go. So tonight, since we don't have the website set up with questions yet, what I'm going to do is, for what would normally be the Q&A portion, I'm going to answer some frequently asked questions, because there's a handful of questions that I get asked like basically every week, if not every day. So later in the show, that's what we're going to do. But to start, we are going to have this discussion, keeping our cool during contest prep. So, Vach, I am going to turn it over to you. And what I'd like to start out with is, I'd like to talk about some of the reasons why you might not keep your cool. What are the things that get under your skin, that get inside your brain, that make a contest prep harder?
Overall, I mean, I would definitely have to say it's the nutrition aspect of it, the lack of calories. Especially when you start going into carb cycling, there's days where you don't have carbs. I mean, I know when the first year that we had, there was a long period of time, especially right before the show, where we did just fats and days of no fats, and it was just protein.
Yeah.
So without carbs in your system, you're always going to be cranky. Anybody that's ever competed will definitely know hanger. You know, it's a combination of being hungry and angry. That's the biggest issue that gets you agitated. Once you get food in your system, once you get carbs in your system, you're a happy camper. But until that happens, the littlest thing could set you off. And it's not even something that normally would irritate you, but it could be you stubbed your toe and you flipped the couch over. You know, I'm not saying that's ever happened to me, but that's usually like a little thing that can really get under your skin is just because of lack of carbs.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that stuff, Vach. I think that hunger is probably the number one catalyst that can drive you insane during a contest prep. I've seen a lot of people that start falling apart, especially towards the end, because the leaner you get, the less stores or reserves of fat that you have in your body, the less nutrition you have to draw from, and the more you become dependent on the food that you eat. So it's real easy after a while to have real extreme ups and downs. You know, you eat your food and you feel okay and you feel fine, and then an hour later you're basically down in the dumps, and that's because your body is kind of like shutting down on you to an extent. I'm sure you've experienced this more than once. You're probably experiencing it now to an extent, on and off. Am I right?
Yeah. It's definitely at that point. That's like I said, there's plenty of days during the week where I'm feeling like, all right, I know I'm on prep now. But at the same time, when I get that feeling, I know, hey, it's almost showtime now. It's time to put everything on the table.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you ever get to the point where you feel like you're not good enough for this, that it's you just shouldn't even be doing this, or are you beyond that at this stage of competing?
I mean, I'm not going to say there it hasn't crossed my mind, not as often as the past couple of years, but you know, the more I've done it, the more improvements I make, the more confident I've become. But I'm not going to lie and say there aren't some days where I look and I think, all right, you know, am I going to place? Am I going to do well? But once that thought gets into my head, it's like, all right, place or not, I presented the best version of me that I could possibly get. And all the negative thoughts just seem to fade away after that.
Yeah. You know, you make a good point, too. At the end of the day, the only thing you can do, the only thing you really have control over in a contest prep is yourself. So, you know, you don't know what placing you're going to get. You can't determine that ahead of time, especially on like the local or state level shows. Most of the time, you don't know who's going to come in. You know, it's not like it's advertised ahead like the Olympia, where we know the 11 guys that are going to be competing this year because, you know, they've won all these different shows. It could be literally anybody could show up, and you could walk in there and maybe one day you're, you know, head and shoulders above everybody else. And another day, usually that's not the case. Usually there's always going to be one monster that walks in and, you know, just steals the show from everybody. But, you know, there's going to be cases though, too, where you come up against stiffer competition. the only thing you can control is yourself. You can't control what the judges are going to think, you know? Do maybe they like a guy because he's got blonde hair? Okay, maybe they like his look better than yours and you have brown hair. Okay, well, nothing you can really do about that. What we can control is our conditioning. You know, we can control our presentation. You definitely are somebody who's put a lot into posing.
Yeah, it's over the past few years and just studying other people, how they pose, just going to a couple different shows, picking up things here or there. I mean, it's basically just like any other sport. I mean, you watch somebody play basketball, you see how they dribble, what kind of moves they do, and you try to learn their style and incorporate it into yours, kind of mash it up to make a wonderful masterpiece, so to say. So it's fun to see, in especially now I'm getting ready for a show and I have a couple of other friends competing, just to see what makes your body look the best with a certain pose is what it's all about, essentially. I mean, you can have a great physique, but if you don't pose right, your entire physique is just ruined.
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen many cases where somebody with an inferior physique can beat a better guy who has more genetic gifts or is more developed, spent more time, you know, because he's been outposed. Posing definitely can play, you know, a huge role in the end. You know, it's not just a matter of who's the biggest guy on stage or who's the leanest guy on stage. It's who can communicate and present their physique to the best ability. Another thing that we can control is our tan. You know, that's something that we can control. We can control how our suit or our trunks fit. You know, that's something that we can put more into. Do you just buy a suit off the rack and you throw it on and you're good to go? Or do you get something that's custom made? Or in the case of a lot of the guys that are doing men's physique, a lot of these guys are taking their board shorts in and they're getting them tailored. You know, get the exact length of short that they want, the exact level of tightness that they want. Now, is this something you've ever done with getting something tailored, or have you been able to get exactly what you want through trying on different pairs?
I mean, as I've grown, I've been able to get away with certain board shorts. I mean, I try to go for the shorter one, given the fact that I'm a shorter dude.
Okay.
But I've been able to get away with the shorter ones as they're already a little bit more snugger fit. But the first year I did have to get a couple of pairs of board shorts and have them custom tailored so they fit just right. So yeah, I mean, I've done both sides of the coin. You know, I've gotten a pair of shorts, had them, had everything tailored to fit me, and a couple of times I found a pair of shorts that just fit perfectly. I didn't have to do anything.
Nice. You know, and all of this is leading back to the things we can control, and another thing that we can control is our attitude. And that's pretty much what we're focusing on here tonight. Is we're focusing on controlling our mind, you know, not letting our heads get away with us, from us. So what are the things you've done? First of all, I'm sure in my experience as a competitor has been that the first thing I need to do in order to change my attitude is recognize that there's a problem. How long do you feel it takes you? Do you feel that you're somebody who's quick to recognize that there's an issue, or is it something that you have to beat your head up against for a week before you realize it's a problem?
No, I mean, I'm fairly quick to pick up on when there is an issue, whether it's with myself or somebody else. But yeah, I pick it up fairly quickly.
Okay. And then from there, what are some of the tools you use to deal with it? And try to give me an example maybe of something that might come up during a diet that makes life harder.
I mean, for me, it's my line of work. Whenever you start dieting down, you get that mental fog. And for me, I have to look at medical records all day and assess medical records, read, evaluate, think, and write all this stuff up. There are some times where I look at a bunch of medical records and I it's all written in English, but I can't comprehend what's being written. And I get so stressed out from constant cases coming in, to the point where I start to feel like, great, I'm just shutting down, you know, mentally, physically, everything. I can't comprehend anything. Whenever it does get to that point, whenever I feel like I can't handle this anymore, I feel, you know, basically my body temperature goes up, I can tell I'm getting agitated, as if somebody were to come up to speak to me, I can tell I'm going to be very short with them. At that point, I just stop what I'm doing, go downstairs to the first floor and just walk around. Or if it's really nice outside, hop in the car, turn on music, go for a quick drive, let myself recuperate, and then come back into the office and get a fresh start.
Nice. So you basically, you give yourself, 5 minutes or 10 minutes, whatever it takes to kind of basically hit the reset button.
Exactly. I mean, you got to take yourself away from that situation. It's like you're putting your hand in a fire. If you leave your hand in there, what's going to happen? It's going to burn. You got to take your hand out of there and put out the flame to grab whatever you want to grab that wasn't the fire,
Sure. So I guess something I missed here too, that's kind of in between those things, is acceptance. You recognize you got the problem, then obviously it sounds like you're pretty quick to come to terms with accepting it's a problem. You don't try to ignore it and fight it. I feel like that's the worst, right there. Okay. And this kind of brings up a whole nother section of thought on this topic. There's a lot of people I find, especially guys that are newer to competing, that they just don't want to let go. They don't want to admit that they've given their all and that they can't give more. There comes a point, if you're truly trying during a contest prep, you are going to reach your absolute limit. And the only way you're going to know that you've gotten to your limit is by hitting a wall or two and not being able to go forward anymore. And you got to have a level of acceptance to say, okay, this is my limit right here. I know that I've given my all. Maybe my body could look a little bit better if I could do 5 more minutes of cardio, but I've given my all right now and I have to accept that. I think that's the hardest thing, is to be able to go to the show and recognize, okay, yeah, I did do everything I could do, because it always feels like there's more that you could do. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's no matter how confident you are going into a show, that there's always that mentality, I could always do more. I'm still too small. Bigger. I can get bigger. I could have done this. I should have done that. But realistically, could you have that? That's the question. Could you have, or should you have,
Yeah.
Yeah, you could have done that extra rep or two, but you could have also hurt yourself with that extra rep or two because you were already fatigued and you were going to do a half-assed form and end up hurting yourself.
Sure. And, another thought too here is kind of being able to walk away from it, knowing that you still kept your life, in balance as best as you can. It's so much to give. I mean, at the end of the day, competing is still going to always be, for 99% of the people out there, a hobby. Our bodybuilding, it may be your passion, it may be what you get up for in the morning, it may be the only light in your life. And if so, I feel bad for you, because there's more out there. But nonetheless, at the end of the day, for most people, they aren't going to make a living at this. So I think it's important to have other aspects of life that you find interesting. I like to schedule in a little bit of downtime and do something like go to a movie. Obviously that's hard during contest prep, because especially if you work a 9-to-5 job, there's always going to be a limitation in time. You work that 8 hours, that 10 hours. Some guys I know are working 12 hours and they're still competing. And then you got to go to the gym, and then you got to go do your cardio, and then you got to tan towards the end. And then of course, I mean, what's the biggest part of our day? Food prep.
Yeah.
Food prep and consuming food is pretty much what makes this whole thing come together. You're limited. But it's important to say, okay, yeah, I'm giving 95% to this thing. I got to find somewhere in that other 5% where I can go to a movie, or I can take my girlfriend out for a date and do something fun with her, play some putt-putt golf or whatever. And I feel like for us, it's important to be the best person we can to those other people in our lives. I feel like we owe it to them, don't you?
Agreed. I mean, and I found lately that, yeah, with this lifestyle, I mean, you're constantly, all you're doing is going to the gym, you're going to work, you're eating, but one of the things I found that kind of takes my mind off the entire prep, especially takes my mind off the hunger, is, you know, sitting down with my parents every once in a while and just hanging out with them and watching a movie. I mean, to me, my biggest fans, my biggest supporters are my parents and my brothers. You know, at first they didn't really see the point in what I was doing. But once they began to see how happy I was and how confident I felt about myself after what I've accomplished, they jumped up, they supported me, and they understand I have my days where you just stay out of my way because it's a no carb day, and it's been a no carb day for a few days in a row. They know now, they just know how the prep life works, and they support me through and through, and that definitely helps, you know, to have somebody there to push you, to help you, to understand what you're going through, and not, you know, give you a hard time. Oh, you don't hang out with us anymore, you don't do this. But at the same time, you still kind of have to make that time to spend some quality time with them as well. Keeps them sane, it keeps you sane.
I agree, you know, because at the end of the day too, this is something that we want to do for ourselves. You know, it's a selfish thing. It's a hobby, and it's something that we want to make happen. So just because you feel like crap, you feel like crap because of what you want to do. You know, it's your choice. And I think people forget that too, especially me being a coach. Sometimes the newer guys, they start to think like it's my fault, you know. I remember having one guy who said he thought I was trying to like make him insane, you know. It's like, no, that's just kind of the way the diet works. he thought that I wanted to see like how much he could handle, and he was like, well, I'm not, you know. He made me like this imaginary adversary in his head, and he didn't tell me any of this till after the show. But that's kind of what he had said, was like that, you know, like I'm not going to fall no matter what he says, no matter what he makes me do, I'm just going to do it. And I was like, no, I had your best interest in mind. I just wanted you to win, you know, and he did. He won the novice division at his show. He won his open class in the show. And then he went on to win the overall, too.
I kind of get what he's coming from, but at the same time, it's his responsibility. If he feels that he is losing touch, then he should have communicated that with you. And that's one of the things I definitely do respect about you, is you make it clear that you want to know how we're doing during the prep. Yeah, we get a little cocky, thinking, oh, no, I'm fine. I can do this. I can handle it. Throw more. But again, like you said earlier on, is you have to know your limitations. And there's a certain wall that you're going to reach, and you shouldn't have any shame in admitting that, hey, this is my wall. I can't do anymore. My breaking point. We got to do something to fix it, you know?
Yeah. I think, you know, you're talking about communication, and
yep.
Communication is huge, because I want to know what's going on with my guys. I want to know, you know, how you're feeling. I don't want to make it more difficult than you can handle. Everybody's got their limits. And for one person, you know, they might be able to handle a lot more. For somebody else, they might not be able to. Like you said, you know, you really struggled. You really suffered that last diet. We got you looking gnarly too, you know, and that's what it took to get there. But, you know, for the listening audience, we had Vache on a ketogenic diet, which was a modified keto, not a true keto diet. So we had him on high protein and moderate fats and low carbohydrates. And then at a certain point, the diet wasn't working the way we wanted it to anymore and producing the results at the speed we had wanted it. And we actually began to cycle the fats. So he went from like a high fat day to a low fat day. And then eventually it became a protein fat day to just a protein veggie day. And I can tell you that for anybody who has not tried a keto diet, it can be difficult at first. But when you pull those fats, that's when satiation you cannot control that hunger. You're just going to have to accept that you were going to be very hungry, and thinking about eating is going to be like a primary drive through your entire day.
Oh, it's ridiculous. And at that point where, like you said, you're not satiated, your food at that point literally becomes a drug. You're literally having food left and right, and your energy levels, forget about it. I mean, it's ridiculous. And I can honestly say the days where we started cycling the the fats and no fat days,
yeah,
that's definitely when it was really a test for me to keep my cool. It's been that those were the angriest of my days.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we haven't had to get you there yet. You know, last year when Vache and I started working together, he brought me in at the beginning of the contest prep, and I could only work with the time that we had. It was impossible for me to add an extra 1,000 calories, you know, at the beginning of the diet, because we only had so much time. This time, so effectively, you know, eventually we had to remove more and more food to keep evoking the results we wanted, and that's why calories got where they were. This time, we started out from a much higher base of food. So right there is a suggestion, you know, to everybody out there, and this isn't just to the guys who are competing, you know. I think that most people I come in contact with, the number one thing, everybody would like to be bigger. Everybody wants abs, though. You know, everybody wants to look good. Everybody wants to be able to take their shirt off, look awesome on the beach, or, you know, whatever else. The number one thing is to start your diet from a high amount of food. I think that most of the people that I began working with that are, I'll call them like uneducated about their nutrition, they start out not eating nearly enough. I mean, I'm talking like people who are eating 2-3 meals. So, you know, while we got you here, you know, I'm going to keep you on as I do the questions too, if you don't mind, Vach.
Yeah, it's perfectly fine.
And I'm going to make a note here. Let's make a note here. Something like, because when we get to the questions, frequently asked questions is, what should my diet look like? So I'm going to write that down here right now. What should my diet look like? Okay, back to the show. yeah, so that satiation, man, that definitely does make it harder. Something I deal with is it's difficult. My blood sugar gets so low. I feel so weak. I mean, and then by the end, you know, your glycogen is so depleted. I feel so physically weak. I used to work a real physical job, and it was difficult for me just to take one more step, just to pick one more thing up, you know, and I'm picking up these 5-pound, 10-pound blocks and moving them to another stack of 5-pound, 10-pound blocks. And each one took two hands. I do not look back with any type of joy thinking about those diets. That was rough, man.
So. Yeah. Definitely wasn't the funnest part, but hey, you know, if you're not suffering, you're not doing it right.
Yeah, no kidding. Do you have any other thoughts, something that we're not covering about this topic? I have a couple more, but I wanted to let you have an opportunity to throw something in if there's something on your mind.
Yeah, one of the things I found to help deal with just keeping your sanity, keeping calm, whenever you do get worked up, just realize why you're doing this sport in the first place. Like you said earlier, you're doing it for yourself. Nobody put a gun to your head to do it. You chose to do it, not live with your, you know, decisions. But there are escapes which you do have to have. I mean, for me, when I do feel like I'm worked up, where I do feel that I'm just overwhelmed, I'm stressed out, I'm agitated because I'm not getting the amount of calories that I'm used to keep myself sane, is I like to go for drives, as I said earlier. But another outlet that I have is writing. I know a lot of people don't know that about me, but I'm a bit of an introvert. I don't enjoy talking about my feelings so much.
Okay. Instead, I think a lot of men are like that, you know?
Yeah. But, I have no shame in admitting that I write. You know, my dad, he's a poet. I kind of take after him in that sense.
Nice.
If I feel something that I just need to get it out, it's bothering me, I just write it.
Okay. Now, this is something like you, because you've never really told me this before. You're not taking this anywhere. This isn't like so that you can go to an open mic night, or is it?
No. It's just for me, just to get it out. And it's not even so much as a diary. I don't start off, dear diary. No. If you do, that's perfectly fine. But no, it's more of why am I frustrated? You know, what's the root cause of it? Write about it and get it out, you know, get that stress out. If it stays in, it's only going to bottle up. It's going to fester. It's going to make it worse.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's, and I think holding that in, that's kind of like that acceptance thing that I was talking about earlier. You know, you got to realize like, okay, you know, I'm working really hard here. Okay. I'm at my limit. Instead of just saying, no, I can keep going. No, I can keep going. You know, something that, and this does actually have to do with writing. Another suggestion that I give a lot of people is I have people make a gratitude list, because it can be so difficult to get through, you know, with a positive attitude, because there are so many things you feel crappy about. But guess what? There's like a whole ton of things that you have that you should feel awesome about. Like, number one, the health and the physical means to do what you want to do, get into awesome shape, you know. Number two, you have awesome supportive people. Number three, you have the finances to do this. You know, I mean, there's people out there that couldn't think about spending a few grand on doing a contest prep, especially for the guys that are enhanced and using gear, you know, because then things start getting a lot more expensive. You add some 2 units of GH into the mix and, you know, there's the bank right there. So, I mean, I think all this stuff plays a big role, you know? So I hope we're not boring, those listening that are not competing, you know, cause, this isn't just for competitors. I want to make that clear too. You know, I've known, most of the people that take their diets to this extreme are looking for the end result of getting on stage. But I also know people that are working just as hard just because they want to freaking see what they can do with their body, you know? And at the end of the day, I feel like that should really be the foundation of this experience anyway, you know? Wouldn't you agree? Like, just because you want to be your best.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're not happy with yourself, then you're going to keep pushing yourself until you are happy with yourself. But at the same time, you shouldn't beat yourself down because you're not there. You know, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's going to take some time to see great changes.
Yes.
As cliche saying goes, you know, great things take time.
Yes, this is true. I think I'm pretty much wrapped up here. Do you have any other thoughts?
Nope. That's about it.
All right. Well, what we are going to do here is take a break. At the moment, we don't have any commercials, so there is going to be a small transition. And after that transition, Vach is going to hang out with me, and I'm going to go over a few frequently asked questions. So thank you, sir, for joining me tonight.
Not a problem. Thank you for having me.
And guys, we will be back in a moment. Back. You still there, Vach?
Yep, I'm still here.
All right. So I've got a handful of questions, and these are questions that I get every week, if not more often. You know, of course, this would not be a Naps Gear podcast if it was not gear related. A lot of questions that come into Naps are related to anabolics. And this is one that you will not be able to help me with, considering that you are a natural competitor. But so just bear with me. Try not to fall asleep. Everybody else that fell asleep is going to wake up now. And you can take a little nap, and I'll just tap on the mic. I'll tap on your mic when we're ready to get going again. So the question I get a lot, an awful lot, is what's a good first cycle? And I get this question regularly, from guys that have very little experience with training, let alone education on gear. The first thing I would suggest for somebody who's young is guy who's, say, 21, 22 years old. That's a good time to start. I'd suggest that you have a little bit of training experience first. And when I say training experience, I don't just mean that you know what a bench press is. I mean that you know how to put on muscle. And the reason I say this is because the way anabolics work are they help you to accelerate what you're already doing. So you're not just magically going to grow muscle because you took testosterone. You need to have the right environment. That environment is you need the proper nutrition. You need the proper stimulus from training. And you need rest. You got to have all that balanced out. So if you don't know how to grow muscle off of gear, you're not going to be very successful on gear either. So what does that mean? That means that, first of all, you are going, and I guess this is going to cover the other question is what's a good diet, you know? And the diet that I'm going to talk about first, I'm not going to cover cutting because cutting diet is going to be unique for everybody. Everybody is going to need a different formula, and we can get into different styles of dieting later on another show. I'm sure that somebody's going to write that one in. In fact, I suggest that you do, guys, because like I said, this is a community-based show, and I want to talk about the topics that you're interested in. So somebody, please write in a question. You there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. I got a short. I'll have to edit that out. So somebody, please write in a question relating to cutting diets. But yeah, back to where I was at. How do you gain muscle with your diet? The key is protein. You need more protein going into the muscle cell than is leaving it. Plain and simple, that's basically what anabolic means. Anabolic is more protein going into the muscle cell than is leaving it. And of course, through that experience, the muscle cell is going to expand. So what I always suggest is somewhere between, we'll say 1 to 1.5 grams of protein per pound of muscle weight to start. So guy who's 200 pounds, shoot for maybe 250 300 grams of protein a day, ballpark, just to start. And then split that up into 6 or 7 meals. That way you are constantly trickling this protein into your body. You constantly have amino acids in your blood, and they're constantly being delivered to muscle so that you can grow at an optimal rate. That's the primary goal. That's a primary focus right there is your protein. So from there, you know, carbohydrates and fats, that is going to be individual. A good place to start, if you know nothing about your diet, is throw in 200 grams of carbohydrates, maybe, for the 200-pound guy, about 1 gram, we'll say, per pound, and 100 grams of fat, which would be a half a gram per pound. Then from there, what do? You'll watch your results. You're starting to get fat, then you start to play with the protein, or you start to play with the carbohydrates and the fats. And then from there, you watch your results, and then you play with them some more. That's the best way. Either that, or you find yourself a good coach, like Undercover at Next Level Nutrition, or someone like myself. I'm not just saying these are the people you should go to, but these are people that can help you. And there's a lot of good coaches out there. So you find yourself a coach, and that is definitely going to expedite the situation, because these are people who have had, hopefully, if you pick a good one, they've had experience with a lot of different body types, and they can tell, you know, more quickly what changes are happening and then how to quickly make adjustments. So you get the diet down. You figure out what type of training works for you, and then you start your first cycle. So what do I suggest? I would suggest for somebody, like I said, a male who's 20, 21 years old at least, their body has stopped growing. We don't have to worry about estrogen closing bone plates prematurely. Testosterone, That's where I would go. Testosterone, long-acting, like Cypionate or Enanthate. This way you can administer the testosterone in two weekly injections versus fast-acting testosterone, which would need to be injected more often. This cause I hear you sleeping over there, Vach. You're snoring, aren't you?
No, I'm actually interested in this. I'm paying attention. I'm taking notes.
Okay, good.
There's a quiz at the end, right?
There will be a quiz at the end, yes. So be prepared. And there will be no cheating either.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so, long-acting testosterone split into two injections. Figure somewhere between 250 to 500 milligrams a test a week. I've seen guys that have actually been successful on just 250 milligrams a test a week. That would be considered low-end, and I've seen on some of the message boards where people would say, that's hormone replacement therapy. Well, I don't know if it is or not. You know, maybe it is for some people. Everybody's different and requires a different amount for hormone replacement to be in the normal range. But I have seen guys put on exponential amounts of muscle. I'm talking like I saw one guy who was smaller. He was like shorter, 5'5". He gained. And now, of course, this was not all muscle. There was a good amount of water involved. But he put on like 22 pounds in a 12-week cycle at 250 a week of test. I mean, that's way more than you're ever going to get naturally, like way, way more. And that brings up a point too. You know, you want to keep the cycle moderate at first, especially because the only way you're going to continue evoking more growth is by eventually you're gonna have to increase the doses. So you start low, you leave yourself room to increase later. And that's another situation here. I get a lot of guys who jump on email and they say, hey, you know, I want to do my first cycle. And they list this big, long, complex cycle with like seven different compounds. And, you know, this starts then. And yeah, maybe it is on paper a really good cycle, but it's a really good cycle for somebody who's already done six compounds, somebody who's done five compounds. Realistically, there's no reason for six steroids, but you see where I'm going with this. You know, if I've heard this said before, I've seen it over there written on the Q&A, the undercover hosts at NAPS, that steroid cycle, you look at it like, you know, taking Tylenol for a headache. If you take a Tylenol for a headache and that cures it, then what's the point of taking Tylenol and Advil? You know, it's not going to be of any benefit to take both, but you would increase the risk of side effects. So for a guy that's just starting out, they've got the testosterone. I'd run that for 10 to 12 weeks. And then because of the long half-life, you need to wait about 2 weeks until after the cycle is over. And then from there, you would start a post-cycle therapy. My suggestion would be Novadex at 40 milligrams for the first week, followed by 20 milligrams for about 14 to 21 additional days. You could also use Clomid, 100 milligrams for the first week, followed by 50 milligrams for another 2 to 3 weeks. Kickstarting. Now, you don't need to kickstart your cycle, but you could. And what is the idea of this? Here's the thing is that, like I said, these testosterones are long estered. So I see people that ask me, they say, hey, I've been on my cycle for 10 days and I haven't seen any changes. Okay, yeah, right. That's because the testosterone needs to build up to super physiological doses or levels in your bloodstream. It's not there yet. It's going to take a couple of weeks. You should start to notice something different in your body. And you know what? Maybe it's me. Maybe it's because I've been more experienced, but I can tell from the first few days when I'm on test because things just start to change. My mood improves. I feel like, you know, libido starts to pick up and I feel like I just have more energy and endurance. That slowly builds and builds and builds. And then around like 3 weeks, you realize, hey, I'm starting to gain some weight. But it takes that long. You might not even see any real progress on the scale for 4 weeks. It can take a while. So what do people do? Some people will kickstart their cycle by taking something that's faster acting. Something like a low dose of Dianabol would be a real prime way to start. And this is something that it's got a real short half-life, 4.5 to 5, 6 maybe hours per dose. So you would take that 3 times a day, somewhere around 30 milligrams would be a great place to start. And from there, you could start to see results much quicker. You know, within a week, you'll start to put on a little bit of weight. You'll start to see strength increasing. You'll start to see more endurance. And you would run that for, say, the first 4 to 6 weeks of your 12-week cycle. One more very important component to this, and that is estrogen control. You know, a lot of new guys are afraid of, you know, the crude term is bitch tits, you know, gynecomastia. And what this is a side effect of high estrogen. There is no reason that the estrogen should have gotten that high to begin with. So what do? We take an anti-aromatizing agent like Arimidex would be my choice. There's also Aromacin and Letrozole. They all work in similar fashions. I find that Arimidex is, for me, the easiest to control. And what I would suggest using is for this theoretical cycle of 500 milligrams a test, let's say, for 12 weeks, along with 30 milligrams of Dianabol, about, we'll say, start with a half a milligram of Arimidex. And this would be taken orally every other day through the cycle. Now, if you started noticing like some pre-gyno signs, you start getting like a little bit of tenderness in your nipple, or a little bit of itchiness. And I'm not talking about like just in your head, because I know a lot of guys that are totally like always touching their boobs while they're on cycle because they're afraid, because they don't know what's going to happen. They think they're going to get gyno and it's just going to come out of nowhere. And now they're going to need surgery. You'll know, you'll feel it. And when you do, if this happens and you're taking a half a milligram of Arimidex, you simply increase the dose. You know, worst case scenario, you stop taking the D-ball for a couple of days while you increase that dose. But boom, you know, there you go. You're set. You can continue to up the Arimidex until things are under control. And it might take a day or so to get there. But hey, you know, after a couple of days, you'll be back in shape. You know, your estrogen levels will hopefully be better. And the best way to know what's really going on is to get lab work. So you can always get labs done. There's places available online, you know, private clinics and stuff where they will write the script for you. And then you can hop down to one of the diagnostic centers local to you to have blood drawn with this script, and they will email you the results. So this is a way to, you can see, you know, absolutely, where is my estrogen level? And you can keep it in range using Arimidex. So this is really something that's pretty safe. You know, while we're on the topic, and I got to make this quick because I get so long-winded when it comes to talking about this stuff. I feel like I don't want to leave anything out, you know? One thing that you would really, really, really should do is before you run your cycle, I'd get some lab work done. Get your base levels figured out. You know, what is your testosterone level naturally? Find out if you have any predisposition to high cholesterol. Find out, you know, make sure that your kidneys are working properly. Make sure that your liver is functioning properly. You know, you do all this stuff beforehand so that, you know, after the cycle, you can get your labs done again. You know, another question I get is, how long do I need between cycles? Okay, well, how long do you need? You need to wait until you've recovered. Well, how do you know when you're recovered? By lab work, you know, simply. So if you did your lab work before your first cycle, then after you come off your first cycle, the best way to know if you've recovered is to check your labs and compare those numbers to what you were pre-first cycle. A lot of guys don't do this. You know, I think more and more nowadays, people are getting smart and labs are affordable and available through the internet now. So there are more and more guys that are getting on board with this. I hope that that keeps going. Anybody who has any questions about your lab work, you know, I'm not a doctor, but I can help you understand what's going on. Because as a bodybuilder, things don't always look the same as they do for a normal person. You know, you may look at, you know, if your lab work was for a 90-year-old, if you were to have the same results as, say, a woman that was like in her 90s or her 70s or 80s or whatever, she'd look like she was dying, you know. And there are some doctors out there who don't understand the difference between the lab work of an athlete and the lab work of an average person or an old lady or whatever. And you know, there are doctors that will freak out. So it's important that if you do go to labs, get labs from a doctor while you're using gear, it's important to understand, you know, how to read these labs and to see, you know, what is, although it may be in the high range, you know, what is still considered to be normal. You know, a lot of that has to do with watching trends. You know, maybe something is normally high, or maybe something is in the high range, but that doesn't mean that it's crazy as long as it's stable. Like maybe you're taking an oral steroid, and this is going to elevate your liver enzymes, but it should only elevate them to an extent, and they should remain stable. If those levels continue to climb and climb and climb, that might be the sign that there's a red flag, and that might be something to look out for. So it's more about having a bigger picture. It's not just the one lab work done. It's the story that a series of labs can tell. So if you're mature enough to use steroids and to take your physique to this next level, then you definitely should take the responsibility of getting lab work done too. Next here, what's our next question here? The best time to do cardio. I get a lot of guys that freak out and they think that AM fasted cardio is instantly going to eat into their muscle and they're going to lose all their gains. What do you think about fasted cardio? This is a topic that you and I can both talk about.
Yeah, it's definitely effective. Haven't done it for all the shows I've done so far, it definitely is one of the most effective ways to help lose muscle fat. Not muscle fat, I'm sorry. weight from fat. I guess a lot of people have this preconceived notion where, oh, I'm already at a calorie deficit, or I haven't eaten anything when I wake up, and what am I going to lose? I'm going to lose muscle by doing cardio. You're going to lose a little bit of muscle, whether you're doing cardio in the morning or after. It's all about where you keep your heart rate, from what I've understood and what I've researched, is where do you keep your heart rate? What's the intensity level you're doing cardio?
Have you noticed a difference, say, doing your cardio in the morning versus doing your cardio post-workout, one or the other being more or less effective?
Yeah, I would have to say fasted cardio is definitely the way, from my personal experience, more effective. I find that if I do fasted cardio throughout the day, I'm hungrier. My appetite, my metabolism is kickstarted, and I'm able to eat those same foods and process them a lot quicker. I mean, I don't feel full as long as I would if I do post-workout cardio.
Yeah, I've experienced that myself too. Okay, so number one, yes, guys, I would say the most effective time of the day to do cardio is right when you wake up, and to do that cardio before you eat. If you eat your food, what's going to happen is you're going to just burn off the nutrition you've eaten, you know. I would suggest to start moderately. Start with slow, steady state cardio. Keep your heart rate in a target range, which is going to be different depending on your age, but it's going to be somewhere between like 115 to 125. Keep your heart rate at the target range for optimal fat loss. It's going to be slow. We're not talking about getting on a treadmill and sprinting for a half hour. This is going to be like a brisk walk. And I would suggest you start with about 25, 30 minutes, four or five times a week if you currently aren't doing cardio but want to begin a program. Second most effective time to do cardio would be post-workout. Reason for this is your next most depleted state of the day. You just got done training. You just got done burning off all the nutrition you've eaten. So you are at the next closest period of time to being fasted in your day. Not much more I can really say about this. There are different styles of cardio. You know, some people find that HIIT cardio is more effective, high intensity interval training style cardio, and this is where you spend a portion of time going fast, like giving, we'll say, 90% of your max effort, and then a portion of time going slow, giving, say, 30, 35% of your max effort. And then you would toggle between the high and the low. Maybe 1 minute high, minute and a half low. Maybe you start there. Maybe you start 30 seconds high and 1 minute low. And then you can play with that ratio to get more aggressive. You know, the most aggressive would be like 30 seconds high, 30 seconds low. And that would be, you know, quite killer. And this type of cardio, the duration is usually much shorter. We're talking like 15 minutes is all that you need. If you can do this type of cardio for 30 minutes, you're not doing it hard enough. That's what I got to tell you, because you only have so many sprints in you before you're shot. I think that I'm going to go ahead and leave that one there. I think that's good enough. You know, we talked about the diet, and when we addressed steroids and what a good first cycle was. So last on the plate is, what are the most important supplements that you should take? Now, number one, you know, food is the key, number one, most important thing for your gains. And I spell gains with an S, not with a Z, just for everybody out there. Food is what's going to determine your progress, you know, plain and simple. If you're trying to get bigger, it's food. If you want to lose fat, it's going to also be through food. So supplements are there, just as they're called, to supplement your program. Number one, I think that a good multivitamin is very beneficial. Definitely, I'd take a multivitamin, and a good time to take that is with your first meal of the day. The next one for me would be fish oil. Fish oil, getting the essential fatty acids in your body, is going to help with all functions, including fat loss. Fish oil is great for fat loss. I usually recommend it to everybody, unless they have a condition that would, you know, prevent them from being able to utilize it properly. You know, so from there, let's get into the more fun stuff. Whey protein would be like the first sports enhancing supplement. And really, for me, whey protein, I consider that food. You know, for me, something like that, that's just part of your nutrition. It's difficult to eat six solid meals a day for everybody, especially for guys that are newer to this. So, you know, if you eat four, say, solid meals, and then you supplement two of them with shakes, you're doing pretty good. And you give yourself a little bit of a break from eating. The key is making sure that your whey is good, because there's a lot of crap out there. I've seen like a whole ton of shit that is just garbage, you know? So you kind of, whey isn't cheap, high quality whey. You get what you pay for. You got to read the labels. You got to look at what's actually in the package that you're purchasing. And I see all sorts of stuff that says isolate on it, but it's not a pure isolate. It's like a blend. So many people are into Optimum Nutrition Gold Standard. Don't use it. I mean, here's the thing. It's garbage. I mean, it's basically, there's, I think, some isolate in it, but it's mainly whey concentrate. It's a cheaper, lower quality, not as digestible whey. What you want is a high quality whey isolate that has no more than a gram of carbohydrate, maybe 2 grams of carbohydrate at the very most, and no more than 1 gram of fat per serving. So you should be getting about, you know, 24, 25 grams of protein per scoop. So that's number one, whey protein isolate. From there, I mean, creatine's real cheap. That would be another option for muscle gains. You know, you can buy creatine monohydrate or some of the other like buffered versions of creatine. Creatine, what's that called? Crealkaline. That's another one that's fairly inexpensive. And you could add this into a program, you know, without spending a lot of money. I'm really into the intra workouts for guys that train intensely, especially guys that are ectomorphs and have a harder time putting on muscle. I think that works really good for them. That's definitely high on the list for somebody who's more advanced and, you know, needs to get in more calories than they're consuming. I see a lot of guys that are just under eating And, you know, something like a carb powder could be beneficial. So something like a highly branched cyclic dextrin works well for an intra-workout carb, you know, and this is your products like GlycoFuse or IntraMD. And you want to make sure that you're using an essential amino acid with that so that you're delivering aminos to your body and actually, you know, not just moving carbs to your muscles, that you're actually supplying them with the nutrition that it would take to also rebuild in the process. So these are places I would start. Oh, another good one is a couple more. Got two more. A good probiotic. We talk so much about food here. Digestion is primary in making all this happen. So it doesn't hurt to improve your digestion through using a high quality probiotic and to keep you healthy. And also a dietary fiber powder, some type of a fiber supplement that's going to help you to continue processing all your food and to expel it. Because the worst thing that can happen in a high protein diet is you get constipated and appetite starts to go down and you're feeling like crap. You don't want to eat anymore. It's not going in. It's definitely not coming out. So you put yourself on a fiber powder and you use a couple servings a day. Plus, you get plenty of nutrition and plenty of fiber from your vegetables and you should be good. So I think that about covers it. Do you have any supplements that you want to talk about, Vache? Add to my list?
A couple of things that I use. ZMA, GABA, and NAC.
Okay.
Just that's my nighttime thing to take. And if need be, I have a hard time falling asleep, so I take melatonin every once in a while.
I use melatonin pretty much every day. It's not only beneficial for sleep, it's also a powerful antioxidant too. So it doesn't hurt to add that in, especially if you're dieting, you know, and you got a lot of fat metabolism oxidation in your body, and it can help you to neutralize, you know, free radicals. So Those are definitely good ones. NAC is great. 1500 milligrams would be my suggestion. And I would take that, especially for guys that are using anabolics and especially oral anabolics. It's beneficial for kidney and liver health. So there's a lot of really good research out there on NAC. I like that stuff a lot. Yeah, you know, those are good ones. ZMA, you know, I've heard good stuff about it. I don't take it personally, especially for natural guys. It can't hurt to help with your recovery. That's definitely up there as well. Yeah. Is that all you got there, Vach? I know I kind of covered a lot of the basics. But
yeah. I mean, for cutting, you have your Yohimbine HCL, not bark. Yeah. And I can't believe none of us said this earlier, but a decent pre-workout.
Ah, pre-workouts. Yes. I didn't even think of that one. Good call, man. Yeah. Pre-workouts. They can be beneficial. I feel like there's so many people out there today though, who feel like that's the primary thing you need. I guess I was thinking about like, what do you need? And technically like you don't need a pre-workout, you know? But
that's true.
But yeah, they are fun. It is nice to take them, and they do kind of help amp you up. So they might not contribute directly to muscle gains, but if it makes you work, you know, 20% or 15% harder than you would have otherwise, then hell, maybe that's going to actually in itself there lead to gains in a secondary fashion. So you just have to be careful with stimulants. You know, it's easy to become dependent on them. I don't like the thought of needing a powder to go and work out, you know?
True. And it does put, heavy load on your stress on your central nervous system. So what I like to do is, you know, throughout the competition time, cycle through a couple different pre-workouts. So my body one doesn't get accustomed to the same thing over and over.
Sure.
But after that is I take a month off from pre-workouts and energy drinks just so I can be resensitized to the amount of caffeine that is going into the body. I mean, just like you said, you know, with gear, you know, you're putting X amount in, you're going to need more and more and more and more so your body can utilize it. Same thing with caffeine, as you get accustomed to it. People can drink a pot of coffee a day and it won't do anything for them, but somebody that's never had a cup of coffee in their life, they have one cup of coffee, they're going to be jumping off the line. I know coffee's like nothing really, but still, it, on that same degree, pre-workout, you're going to keep having it, your body's going to get used to it, and it's not going to really do anything for you.
Yeah, no, I have been there. Yeah, I definitely suggest that you use that stuff with moderation. So I think that the show has gone on long enough, and it is time that we call it a night. I appreciate having you here, Vache.
Oh, no, I'm happy to be here. I appreciate you letting me on the show.
Yeah, it was fun, man. And we will have to have you back here in the future. The idea, once again, of Advices Radio is to be a community-based show where we will answer your questions and talk about any topics that you guys have that you're interested in and you want to hear more about. Anything that you think would be entertaining and fun, please definitely send it my way. I also plan on, you know, like I said, bringing on guests and having discussions. So some of these people, if we can find some people out there that, you know, have names and notoriety, the plan is to get them. And some of these people are going to be people that you don't know, but might have an interesting perspective. It's going to be a mix. It's going to be all sorts of different people and all sorts of different topics, but always it's going to be bodybuilding related. So, Vache, I appreciate you being here. Guys, thank you for listening, and please tune in soon because the show is new. It's going to be evolving, changing, and growing. So let's get this thing started out with a bang and keep rolling into episode 2. Thank you, guys, and good night.